travel, attractions, dining.
For many people, Memorial Day is merely a day at the beach. We remind you, though, that your day at the beach was paid for in part by the day brave men stormed the beaches of Normandy and many other brave men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we and others may live free. This Memorial Day, take time to remember those who have sacrificed to secure and defend our freedom, and thank God for His blessings on America.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
We celebrate Jesus coming to earth around Christmas time, and then we know that Jesus lived on earth for about 30 years before he started his earthly ministry, and he was in ministry for about 3 years, but it was appointed for him to die. It was appointed for him to die for your sins and for my sins, for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus, in his time on earth as a minister, as in his ministry, was not only proclaiming the gospel and the good news to the multitudes, he was also training the leaders of the first century church as he was preparing to depart this earth and go into heaven with the Father. He actually left the disciples a very important command and told them that there was something that they needed. He told them, I want you to go to all the world and proclaim the gospel, preach the gospel to everyone, to start out in Judea, but I want you to go to all the nations of the earth. But before you do, there's something you need first. And this, what he told them that they needed, the disciples also valued very much. And you can see in their ministry, when they came upon someone that didn't have this quality and this gift, they made sure that they actually prayed for that person to receive this gift from God. And so if Jesus believes that there's something that's so important that before you actually go and obey his word, before you actually go and proclaim the gospel, before you actually take the good news of salvation to all the world, there's something that you need. And the disciples also thought that that was so important. Wouldn't it make sense if we also pay attention to that and look at what Jesus said was so important and the disciples said was so important? And let's look at Luke chapter 24. We're going to begin in verse 46. Then Jesus said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. So Jesus here is showing them, it was necessary for me to suffer. It was necessary for me to die. It was necessary for me to be crucified. And what God wants to happen next is for the gospel to be preached to all nations of the earth, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these, so you're going to be a part of this. But in verse 49, he says, but I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And then we go over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, the book of Acts was written by Luke. So Luke, it really just kind of picks up there where that's the ending. We just read the ending of Luke. And Acts chapter 1 is where Luke is just continuing to pick up. He starts out in the first few verses talking about how he actually has studied and he's examined. He wants to give an accurate account of what is happening. And then in verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them," this is Jesus, "commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me." You see, Jesus talked in the book of John about sending them a helper and that the Holy Spirit would be a helper to them and would help them along the way. In verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, when he had said these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, you can imagine what they were thinking at that point. They just had been spending, you know, they had spent 3 years with Jesus, and all of a sudden Jesus is now raised into heaven. They just actually saw him go up into heaven. So while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So you see that Jesus is telling them, hey, listen, you've been my witnesses of all these things. You're going to go out and you're going to go and preach the gospel in Jerusalem. You're going to preach it in Judea. You're going to go to all the nations of the earth. And the Bible actually tells us that they did. And history tells us that they did. They went to Asia. They went to Africa. They went to all the parts of Europe. Every part of the world that they knew about, that they could get to, they actually went and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But before they did that, they heeded the words of Jesus, and they waited in Jerusalem until God would fill them with the Holy Spirit and give them his power that comes through the Holy Spirit. And we see in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so, again, they're praying, they're asking God, and they're waiting on God to give them the Holy Spirit. Nothing like this had ever been done before. Certainly, if you look in the Bible, you'll actually see, even in the Old Testament, there were people that the Bible says were filled with the Holy Spirit. But it was different than what these people, how these people were filled with the Holy Spirit. This was the first time that you had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the disciples actually began to actually speak in another tongue. They began to actually speak in a different language. And there was actually what looked like fire on top of their heads. And there are even some church denominations that have that fire as a symbol of their denomination, even though really, if you look at those denominations, you have to conclude, and you see the state of those denominations, you have to conclude that the fire is gone from many of those denominations because they no longer have the fire of God in their lives. They no longer are consumed by God. They're no longer filled with the Holy Spirit. And many of them don't believe the whole word of God, the whole counsel of God, and won't teach the whole counsel of God, won't call sin, sin, and call people unto repentance. But here we see that the people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And in verse 5, we see, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Now think about this. What did Jesus say? Jesus said that they would preach the gospel in Jerusalem, beginning in Jerusalem, and going out to Judea and to all the nations of the earth. And here you have in Jerusalem itself, you have people from all nations of the earth in Jerusalem at this time, where the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and they're speaking in other tongues. And so there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. So one of the things that you'll see if you read the Bible, I want to encourage you, really read the Bible and compare what you believe to what the Bible says. And I know there are some people that say, hey, the gift of the Holy Spirit is not for today. And, you know, that's just a bunch of really, my dad even grew up in a denomination that was actually instrumental in the beginning of the what's known as the modern day charismatic movement. But they had since turned away from that to the point where when he was growing up, he was told that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues was at best a bunch of foolishness, and at worst, it was of the devil. And so there are people that believe against this, and you may be one of those, but I want to encourage you to read the Bible. We're reading it here today, but I want to encourage you to read the Bible. But as you read the Bible, you'll see speaking, and here we're seeing speaking in tongues in earthly languages, but you also see the Apostle Paul referring to speaking in heavenly languages as well. So there are languages that you can speak if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. There are languages that you can speak in that aren't even earthly languages. They're heavenly languages. And the Apostle Paul actually talks about his Spirit praying for him. So they were all amazed, and they marveled at one another, and they said, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And so again, Jesus tells him, you're going to go out to all the world, but God in his providence ordained for all of the world to even be in Jerusalem at that time. Certainly not everyone in the world, but there were certainly people that were there that heard the gospel, that were converted and were able to go back to their communities, to their cities, to their nations, and tell people about what they had heard. And they were able to, so really this was the start of that discipleship, discipling the nations in obedience to God's commandments. So the people are hearing the gospel in their own language. Verse 12, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others mocked, saying, they are full of new wine. They're drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. So he's appealing to them and saying, listen, you know, we can't even get out and get drunk this early. You know, some people in America, they actually opened the bars early enough that some of the people, they could have been drunk, but they weren't drunk from wine. They weren't drunk from actually consuming alcoholic beverages. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what was happening was not madmen. What was happening was actually a fulfillment of prophecy. And so he says in verse 16, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservants, on my men servants and my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered to the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. So he's here showing them, listen, what you see happening here is a fulfillment of prophecy. The prophet Joel spoke about this, and you see the fulfillment even this day. And this all came about because Jesus was here. Jesus was a perfect man. He lived a perfect life, but you crucified him. He actually didn't pull any punches. In church today, in a lot of churches today, Peter might not have preached the same sermon that he preached. He wouldn't have called them to repentance. He wouldn't have shown them their sins. But it is very important that people see their sin. The law of God, the Apostle Paul said, the law of God is our schoolmaster. It leads us to Christ. We can't know that we need a Savior until we first know that we have sinned. When we know that we have sinned, then we can know that we have a Savior. And how would we know that we have sinned unless someone tells us that we have sinned? Certainly the Holy Spirit can convict us. But other than that, people need to be faithful. Ministers need to be faithful. Christians need to be faithful. Certainly speaking in love, but speaking the truth in love, not speaking lies in love. So he is telling them, listen, this all happened by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. So God purposed for Jesus to come to this earth. He purposed for the multitudes to turn against him. He purposed for them to cry out for him to be crucified. But there still was a personal responsibility, so much so that Jesus said that upon that generation all the bloodshed of all the prophets from the foundation of the world until that time would come upon that generation. And that did happen as the Roman army actually surrounded Jerusalem in AD 70. But you see here that this all happened by the determined purpose and foreknowledge. And he again shows them that they have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and have put him to death. Verse 25, for David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. And so he's talking about Jesus being raised from the dead. So even though he was crucified, even though he was put to death, he was raised from the dead. He didn't stay in the grave. Peter here says in verse 29, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you see and hear. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the disciples, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And so they say, what should we do? They're convicted of the Holy Spirit, and they ask, what should we do? And Peter calls for them to repent, and he tells them that they would not only be converted and be saved from their sin, but they would also receive the same gift of the Holy Spirit that the apostles had received, and that they would actually have this same gift. And he says here clearly, this is not just for us. It's for us, and it's for you, and it's for your children, and it's for all who are far off. Now, there are some who believe that the Holy Spirit would actually, the baptism of the Holy Spirit would actually end. It was only for the first century church, but certainly the Bible here, read the Bible, believe the Bible. If your beliefs contradict the Bible, change your beliefs. You're not going to change the Bible. Certainly you may not understand everything in the Bible, but read the Bible and measure what you believe against the Bible. And here he says that this is for all who are far off. Now, I wasn't there. I wasn't the next generation, but I'm one of the ones that are far off, and so are you. And so this gift is available for you as well as for me. It's available for your children as well. So they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they actually called out, and Peter called for them to repent. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So we see that they are actually there in these people. You know, just think about this for a minute. The apostles, I mean, look at it. On the night Jesus was crucified, they all forsook him. Mark fled naked. Peter denied him three times. And you still have the Romans, you still have the Jews. They want to kill the disciples and the apostles. And yet, because of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they were empowered to actually proclaim the gospel. And God did such a marvelous work that 3,000 people joined with those who really had a mark on their head, and with those who had been numbered with him who was just crucified not too long before that. This was the beginning of the church of Jesus Christ. And it's really remarkable. People from all nations were there and heard the gospel, and many of them certainly were from Jerusalem, but they certainly were from other countries, and many of those people may have accepted Christ and taken Christ back to their cities. I want to encourage you today, if you've never received Jesus, repent of your sins and cry out to God for forgiveness. If you have received Jesus, but you haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit, pray that God would fill you with the Holy Spirit and give you that same power. And then just expect God to give you a language. Expect him to give you. It definitely is not going to be something that you can understand, something that you know what you're saying. But God can speak through you. The Holy Spirit can speak through you, even as he did through the apostles that day. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com. Where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
For many people, Memorial Day is merely a day at the beach. We remind you, though, that your day at the beach was paid for in part by the day brave men stormed the beaches of Normandy, and many other brave men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we and others may live free. This Memorial Day, take time to remember those who have sacrificed to secure and defend our freedom, and thank God for his blessings on America.
Here's Tom Cantor, a Jewish born-again Christian and Bible teacher, on Friendship with God.
And that's like people today who want nothing to do with being a believer. They don't want to be found in church. But when they see death approaching and they want to go to heaven, all of a sudden they become very religious, you know, and they claiming to be what they never were in their lives.
Friendship with God with Tom Cantor, Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. right here on WCNO.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Hi, Hi, this is Apostle Joyce Cranfield with the Rosa Sharing Radio Broadcast. Join me each Saturday at 8:45 a.m. on WCNO to hear a message from the Word of God.
Free dust, he has ransomed me, his grace.